Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Richard Rossi Live. This is a song that of a show on Saturday mornings that I loved. It's called Land of the Lost. You remember that? There they are going over the waterfall. Sid and Marty Krofft present Land of the Lost. And we're honored today. We're going to have the actress who played a character that we all adored on Land of the Lost named Holly. Holly, about the time this came on, I think probably about the same age as Kathy Coleman. I think I was maybe 10, 11 when this came out. And it was a wonderful, wonderful era because we only had kind of like three main stations. So we all watched the same cool stuff and we talk about it at school. And for me, Friday nights, we'd have sleepovers. Me and my friends would come over our house and sleep over. And Saturday morning was just like heaven to sit there with our cereal, our Count Chocula, and our very, different cereals we liked, and just sit there watching Land of the Lost. And Holly, who's coming on here momentarily, Kathy Coleman, to me at that age was the ultimate girl because she was adorable yet tough and strong and had that tomboy thing where she could stand up to a dinosaur. Because the girls I liked at that age had that kind of ability to be feminine yet have the male. Like I had a friend, Fournay, and Fournay, she would, play in the woods and run around Memorial Park. And I remember one time she hurt her arm, her right arm, climbing a tree, and she didn't even go to the hospital till the next day. So at that age, a woman who was, beautiful yet strong, like the bionic woman who's been on the show, or like Holly on Land of the Lost, when you're 10 years old, she's like, oh, this chick is so cool. Oh, my God. So we watched her every Saturday. So without further ado, in about 20 seconds, I will be back with Holly, who has a new book coming out. Get it on Amazon. Run, Holly, run. She tells the true story of being that cold child actress and all the adventures since and the things that she has learned in her spiritual journey. Back in 20 seconds with Holly. Woo-hoo! Back live here on Richard Rossi Live, and welcome Holly, aka Kathy Coleman.
It's a pleasure to be on. It is an absolute pleasure.
You are so
tough,
man. You faced dinosaurs and all kind of creatures, and you even befriended the one dinosaur. I remember you made a friend and a pet out of the one dinosaur.
And Dopey,
yeah.
He was my buddy.
Yeah.
My strawberry-eating buddy.
Well, I'm a safe guy that adores you. I know that probably everywhere you go, you get guys about my age. I was born 63 that would come up to you and probably say, when I was 10, I had a crush and you were the coolest chick of all time.
I've had a few. Sometimes it gets a little awkward when their wife is standing right there.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
everybody,
yeah.
I'm telling you, I do a lot of these conventions, and I've met over the years a ton of fans, and I have such a great group of followers, really great group.
You sure do. Well, this book is fantastic. Run, Holly, run. Well, I guess the question that you probably get asked a lot, but we got to ask it is, tell us about how you ended up playing this iconic part. You were doing some acting and some commercials and things, I think, before that, but this was really your big, big break in terms of a lead part, isn't it?
Yeah. I actually, right before, I had done commercials and some stage. Right before Land of the Lost, I was with a singing group, and I did two national tours with them. and probably would have continued on except for the fact that I auditioned for Land of the Lost, and after seven callbacks, count them, seven, I finally landed the part. Yeah. As
they
a matter
gave
of fact,
seven callbacks on Land of the Lost, seven callbacks?
Oh, yeah, you have to meet everybody from the you know, president of NBC all the way down. Everybody's got to put their stamp of approval on you.
Wow.
And just a quick little story. The same week that I auditioned for Land of the Lost, the day before that interview, I had an interview for a show called Run, Joe, Run, and it was also a Saturday morning show.
The German Shepherd.
Yes.
I remember that.
Yes. I did not get that job. Christy McNichol got it.
Mm-hmm.
And had I got that job, which was just a one-day shoot, I would have been working and not been able to audition for Land of the Lost. So, you know, the Lord works in mysterious ways, and I lucked out on that one.
Well, thank God for those mysterious ways, because there's no one else that I ever wanted to be Holly except you. I mean, who could have possibly been the Holly that you were? I mean, Christy McNichol is a fine, fine actress and a nice person, and I crossed paths, I think, with her over at the college. I teach a guitar course at Valley College, and she's been a real benefactor and been involved there, and she's a great person, but Christy, we love you, but I'm telling you, Kathy Coleman shall always be Holly. Forget the damn remake in the 90s, whenever it was. Throw it in the trash. Will Ferrell's funny, but throw that in the trash. You are the Holly, Land of the Lost.
Yeah, I actually, Wesley Uhr, who played Will on the show, he and I did a cameo in the Will Ferrell version.
Mm-hmm.
Very disappointed.
Mm.
It's not a spoofable TV show. It was a family show with good values and morals, and they just chopped it to pieces. It was a mess. It was a hot
mess.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, Will Ferrell's funny, so I had a feeling he'd go that route. But I tell you what, I just, they just don't get these. I mentioned Bionic Woman earlier, the same thing. They did a reboot of that, and they didn't get the heart of the original series. And you know, your original series was so great. I mean, it was shot. I mean, it's amazing to me the kind of green screenish effects in a more primitive, what do they call it, chroma key or something. I mean, you created this world. Somehow they went epic, like Jurassic Park epic, yet did it where it seems like you're just shooting it all on a soundstage, you know. And the heart of it was so strong, though, that we just went into that world, didn't we?
Right, absolutely. And, you know, the possibilities of what it could have been had they gone the other way and not tried to make it into a comedy with the special effects that are at their fingertips today. And if they'd have kept on to the heart and soul of the show and then put in those amazing new types of special effects of today, would have been an unbelievable success. You know, and
it
got the Razzie that year, and so did Will Ferrell. So.
Wow. Well, that's for those of you listeners, a lot of you in the entertainment world that like the show know that the Razzie is kind of almost the polar opposite of an Oscar, isn't it? It's like basically saying it sucked pretty bad.
Yeah, the worst film of the year. That's how bad, so.
Yeah. Well,
anyway,
I felt
bad for our fans because they were really looking forward to it, and they, you know, as adults, they were taking their children and saying, this is what I used to watch when I was a kid. Well, that wasn't what they watched when they were a kid at all.
Yeah.
But
I go into
that a little bit in my book, so.
Yeah, the book is out now on Amazon. I think it just came out this month.
It came out on the 9th of May.
Yeah.
On the 9th of May.
Run, Holly, Run. It's on Amazon. And
getting
it talks about your growing
reviews.
Up.
Reviews.
Yeah. Yeah, what was that about the reviews?
Oh, I said it's getting 5-star reviews. So
it deserves it.
About that.
I love, too, how you talk about growing up, and you had quite a mom, a single mom with a large family. You came from a large family as I did. You had me beat. I was the oldest of 5 kids. I think you had, was there 10 of you?
Yes. Yeah, and
wow.
I'm the baby.
You were the baby.
Yeah. And the
wow.
only one that was in show business.
Well, that's interesting. So, you know, they say in the family that a lot of times the baby becomes kind of the entertainer, you know, and the one that makes, you know, gets, it was the Shirley Temple one and kind of entertains, and the oldest one sometimes becomes the surrogate parent or kind of watching the leader, watching out for the other ones. Were you kind of, I imagine being as, you know, at such a young age, you had such a charisma, you know, singing, dancing, acting. Were you at a pretty young age, you know, putting on shows for the rest of the family and stuff?
Yeah, I think it was pretty inevitable that I would be in some form of entertainment. Exactly. I had no problem, you know, speaking up, and I loved being around adults. I was very talkative, and people used to say to my mother all the time, "You need to get that kid in show business." And at the time, we lived in Massachusetts, and so eventually, by the time I was 5, we moved out west. And because in those days, you really needed to live in Hollywood. Today, you can live anywhere, you know, because of the internet, and you know, travel's a lot easier these days than it was back then. You can basically live anywhere and be in this industry.
So at a young age, you're super talented, and you had to get out here and start auditioning, and you didn't get the German Shepherd show, but you get Land of the Lost after 7 callbacks. Now, what do you remember shooting it? It seemed like it was, I mean, I didn't know about the filmmaking process as I do know more now, having made a few films myself, but I could tell that there was something gnarly about the backdrop, and there was certain ways that you achieved certain epic looks. What was that like? Was it a lot of fun, or did you have to sometimes play a lot of green screen stuff and just imagine the creatures were there?
Yeah, we had 2 sound stages. One was interior, one was exterior. But on the interior sound stage was also the chroma key wall, which was huge. It took up an entire sound stage wall. And so, yeah, a good chunk of the day, you know, depending on how much interaction the show had with dinosaurs or the Lost City or things like that, where there would possibly be dinosaurs, because that was all shot separately. You know, that was they were on a different roll of tape. You know, they blended the two tapes together.
Yeah, so we cut and you'd look at the big dinosaurs, but that was
right.
You just looking
and
there
sometimes, and sometimes we. The funny part about it is not all the time, but every once in a while, you know, they'd give us a marker, like a light that was up by the catwalk or something, and they'd say, okay, that's where Grumpy's going to be, you know, head, start running to the left on action, and then turn around and look at that one light that has the green jelly on top of it, you know, which is a screen that they put in front of the light. Anyway, so maybe somebody didn't hear the green one, and they picked the red one or some other part to look at, and they'd turn around and we've had like still photos of action scenes like that, and you see the three of us are all looking in different angles, you know, different items. You don't notice it because we're all basically looking in the same direction if the tape still keeps rolling, but if somebody were to snap a photo, just every once in a while that happened, and I just noticed it because now I remember. So anyway.
I heard there might have been some puppets with Grumpy. Is that true?
There was a hand puppet with Grumpy and a hand puppet with Dopey. Like the opening of Land of the Lost, when he growls into the camera, the close-up at the end, that's the hand puppet.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. My wife wanted me to ask that because she's a puppeteer in the L.A. Puppetry Guild here, so that's kind of cool. Now, that's a hand puppet at the very end. You mean in the opening credits when he walks towards the camera and we see that big mouth.
Right, right.
And you guys go into the cave, and, oh, that's interesting. Okay, wow, thanks. You just solved a little mystery since childhood there. Well, it was a wonderful era, and I have to thank you. I really, from my heart, have to thank you because You know, I, like many kids, you know, we didn't get the what we needed maybe in the family growing up, you know, and we needed to be stronger as kids. Some of us had to deal with abuse and, you know, alcoholism, mental illness, things like that that were in our family
right.
origin growing up and stuff. So your character
right.
was really tough, and we were the same age. We were born, I think, within maybe a few months of each other, I think. So the fact that Holly could be so strong, she wasn't like the helpless little kid. She was right there with Will and Dad in the middle of everything.
I really appreciate you saying that. I had mentioned earlier that I've met a lot of fans at these, you know, Comic-Con type conventions that I go to. I have had people share with me some of the most wonderful stories of how Land of the Lost was a big help in their childhoods and things like that too. Yeah, it's very touching, very, very moving.
Mm.
Yeah, because and I can tell them, you know, when they approach my table, I know what it's like to be on either side of this table. I come from
yeah.
a large family, and we had our issues, you know, just the same as the issues that you're telling me. And just because I was in the box that you were watching does not mean I was any different, you know. And that's it. That's the main reason why I wrote my book is because I the main message is oneness, you know.
Yeah, I love
not
that.
Separation. Yeah, not separation. We are all in this together, all of us.
Yeah,
and it's,
yeah, I love
every
that.
Every day is a challenge, and you try to make the best of it.
Oh, that's a beautiful message, oneness. That's worth all of us just really meditating on for a moment, Kat, you know, that you were the one on one side of the table as the star being interviewed as you are now, but, you know, you were just a person as well and had your people you were fans of and, you know.
Right, right. And
yeah,
sometimes the person will look at me like with a, you know, question mark on their face, and I have to say something that they really understand, like, if I were David Cassidy right now, you know, and I was at the table on the other side, I would be dying to meet him. And when you think of it, like back when those were my type of crushes, the David Cassidys and the Leif Garretts mm-hmm. and all of that, they weren't accessible. We couldn't just go to a Comic-Con and meet them.
Yeah.
You know, they were so far out of our reach. But I think it's cool that these fans get to meet us, because I know I would have loved to have met, if I was a fan of mine, I would have liked to have met me. I would have liked to have had the you know, that capability. We didn't have that when I was growing up.
Yeah, that is awesome. It's really awesome to go to these
Can
things.
Can you imagine back then, you know, wouldn't you have liked it if, you know, you watched the show on Saturday morning and then come Sunday your dad said, you know what, I'm taking you to Comic-Con, you're going to meet her tomorrow.
That would be so
cool.
Wouldn't
that have been fun? I know.
Yeah,
that's what I'm trying to
say.
Yeah, I
would be really nervous.
Like,
yeah. And I guess some of that happens when you go to these things and, you know, do you watch people kind of become that little kid? Do they ever get emotional or you feel like they're regressing?
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. I watch grown men turn into 12-year-old little boys right before my eyes.
That is so cool.
Yeah, I'm telling you, these conventions are like one big happy family, you know. They're wonderful. I strongly suggest that people go to them. They're really neat. It's like
and
a
by
big
the way,
Thanksgiving.
All of you listening, Kathy Coleman's book Run Holly Run is now on Amazon. Is that the best place to get it, or do you reference any other
You could order it at any bookstore. Like a Barnes & Noble or
Barnes
probably even any of your local bookstores, you know, they take orders. I've found that most of the people that have at least contacted me about the book have purchased it through Amazon.
Okay.
And Amazon also is good because you can leave reviews on Amazon.
On Amazon, yeah.
Yeah.
What's the best place for people to keep up with you on the websites?
I do Facebook. That's. I mean, I'm also on Twitter, but I do Facebook and I have a lot of them, and I try to stay in touch with them all to some degree.
Mm.
You know, so.
Well, that's another blessing of technology, is that we can, you know, stay in touch with actors and actresses that we admire, like you, that we wouldn't have been able to find you that easily, like you say, back in the day. One of the downsides is I don't know if kids have that wonderful experience we had with you on Saturday mornings, because they're playing with the Xbox or the iPhone or the iPad or their...
Right.
And then we'd watch you.
All I can say to that, when you were describing your childhood with the sleepovers and your friend and you running around in the woods, the one with the broken arm, and the cereal in the morning on Saturday, all I can say to that is, aren't you glad that we grew up when we did?
Oh, I am. I'm so glad I grew up before technology took over.
I played just like you described. I was catching polywogs in my coffee can and the local little streams. And I played hard when I was a little girl. I loved adventures like crazy. So I'm very, in a weird way, I was very much off screen like I was on screen. I was a tomboy.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite things about the character. Was it tough being a child star in the sense of, kids will find anything to pick on or anything that's different? And it sounds like you had a mixture of a nice childhood with your mom and all those siblings, but at the same time, here you are a star on a popular show. Did you ever feel like you lost some of your childhood, or you didn't quite fit in as kind of the star and with the normies, you know, out there? That what was it like?
Well, my particular circumstance was a little different than a lot of the kids that work in television. Usually, the kids that child actors lived close to where they worked, whereas my mother had bought me a pony. That was a deal she and I had. If I ever got a TV series, she was going to buy me a pony. Well, the day I signed the contract for Land of the Lost, my mother stayed true to her word, and we went out and we got my pony that day. So, therefore, having a pony, I couldn't live in Hollywood or even in the areas surrounding it. I had to go way out of town in order to have a place to keep my horse. So the kids that lived in this town that I lived in, which was about an hour away from Hollywood, they weren't accustomed to having child actors go to their school. It was odd. I had some good friends, but a lot of the kids were not so nice. They just weren't.
Yeah.
And people say, oh, well, they were just jealous. No, it's not that. It was just that they didn't know better.
Mm-hmm.
I was something foreign to them. You know, why was I in school some parts of the year? Why wasn't I in school? I never belonged to any clique at school. I didn't have time to, you know.
Yeah. Well, you have a lot of compassion to put it in that context that, you know, it's kind of human nature to, you know, when someone's different.
Didn't know any better. You know, you can't knock somebody for being ignorant about something. It's just that they don't know.
Wow, you're a very spiritually evolved person to look at it that way. It's like, you know, when they were killing Jesus and he said, "Forgive them, Father, they don't know what they do."
Absolutely. That's one of our favorite sayings around here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I know your book gets into it more. We don't have to get real, real into it because, it's such a great read. I want you all to read Run, Holly, Run. But in your adult life, you went through quite a few tough things, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they were all lessons, but what was the toughest thing that about the adult years? I know I can feel from your spirit you've come through the hell of that, and you're doing well now. But what was maybe one of the tougher things post Holly, post Land of the Lost fame?
You know, I think for anybody on this earth, this experience of this life is truly loving yourself,
mm-hmm.
and that's what I had to come to grips with. I didn't really know who I was. So if I didn't know who I was, how was I supposed to love who I was? So I had to first find out who I was and then learn to love who I am. And that's some people say it's easy to do. It's not. It is not easy to truly love yourself so that you don't allow other people to treat you poorly. And that was a hard lesson for me. But I don't let that happen anymore.
Yeah, you're a strong...
And I do love myself.
You're even stronger than you were in Land of the Lost now.
I love myself for all of who I am, for all the things that I have not been, for all the things that I am, and for the things that I'm going to learn in the future. You know, I give myself a hug.
Wow. Well, that's something we all of you listening, all of us need to give ourselves a hug and give each other hugs. And I'm so glad you've survived it all. And, you know, what would you...
It was no bitterness. I have no bitterness. You know, I don't feel sorry for myself or, you know, it's just what happened. You know, if you looked behind other people's curtains and into their windows, into their homes, they, you know, keep things pretty private. I decided to share it so that people can say, wow, you know, I can't believe that thing happened to her too. Well, of course it did. I had pimples, you know, I'm like everybody else.
What was your family like? Your brother, your dad on the show. It's funny you mentioned David Cassidy. I'd heard a rumor. I don't know if it's true. I was honored to be invited to Shirley Jones' home a few years ago and spent some time with her and her husband, who's since passed.
Marty.
And she still had a sign up about David Cassidy doesn't live here anymore. I think there were still, like you, the people that had the crush. There's still the people with the crush. But I heard that Wesley, your brother on the show, there was talk of maybe extending the Partridge Family and him taking over David's part. I have no idea
that's
if that
correct.
One's true. Did you ever,
that's true.
Is
that's
that
a
true
rumor that you heard. Yes, it is.
Wow.
Yeah.
I like Wesley a lot. He's great on the show, but I'm kind of glad the Partridge Family ended when it did without David being replaced. It's kind of like you as Holly. There's certain people that's just, he's just Keith Partridge, you're just Holly, you know?
Right. I hear you. Yeah.
But Wesley and
well,
you
as far
had a great
as how,
rapport
how,
on the
how
show.
My relationship, I don't know if that was the question you were getting
yeah,
to.
Yeah,
what was
it
my
like
relationship
working with them as your family, the Wesley and the dad? Dad was Spencer, right?
Right. They are to this day, and they were back in the day, like a family to me. And
yeah.
I can say that with all honesty. I adore them. I adore them, and we look forward to these shows that we do because we get to, you know, hang out for the weekend, and we laugh nonstop when we're together. It's just a ball. It's an absolute ball. Phil, and this is usually who comes to the show. Spencer doesn't do conventions, but it's usually Wesley, myself, and Phil who was Chaka.
Oh, he
and,
was that little guy.
We have a blast
he?
Together. Yeah.
Yeah.
We
he,
have an
he's
absolute
cute in that little,
blast.
Little Chaka. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I imagine Phil that played Chaka and you were probably about the same age then. We were probably all about the
he's
same
age.
He's
a year
then.
Younger than I am. He's a
yeah.
year younger.
Well, these
but we actually
short...
had worked together prior to Land of Lost. He and I did a commercial together. Yeah.
Wow. And I thought, did I remember you on a fast food commercial also back in the day?
I did a number of fast food commercials.
I thought so.
Yeah, I did a number of them. Phil and I's commercial was for Cheez-Its.
Cheez-Its,
crackers.
Oh, that's great. That's
yeah.
great. Well, this book is such a great read, and we encourage you all to get it. Run, Holly, Run. Written by Kathy Coleman, who's just been such a blessing to our Saturday mornings and now is sharing her life. Thanks for your courage and your honesty to share some of the tough stuff that you've been through. And the third act is going to be really good. The best is yet to come for you. What would you like to do in the future, Kathy?
Wow. Well, I just worked on a film that is probably going to be, it's probably a movie for television. It'll probably wind up going through HBO. But I was, I really did enjoy acting as at this stage of the game. I really enjoyed it. So maybe doing some more, you know, acting. That's something I could see myself enjoying in my later years.
Well, you're a real natural because to start off with your first show, having to deal with a lot of technical stuff and acting against green screens and puppets and dinosaurs as well as your human family, and you just jumped right into it and did it. And you had to do a lot of physical stuff, too. I mean, this wasn't just, you know, saying lines. You were all moving around a lot as you did it.
Oh, just running up to High Bluff where our cave was?
Mm-hmm.
That was quite a an adventure getting up there.
Yeah.
It's a good thing I had long legs, you know, to jump up on those different, you know, levels of rock to get up there.
It probably, did it feel like work and play both? It seems like it could have been kind of fun
because
you were that tomboy naturally.
Yes, yes. And it was all, the, you know, we did clowning around too, you know. There was a little bit of room for some clowning around, and any time there was a little bit of room, we took full advantage of it.
Wow.
Yeah, it's expensive. It's expensive, you know, every time you have to cut and start again. It's cost them a little bit of money, so we had to be aware of that. But sometimes it was just too tempting, and we'd have to, you know, cut loose and have a good time with it, so we would. But I wanted to say one thing.
So
this kind of pertains to what I was talking about with the book about oneness and everything.
Mm-hmm.
This movie for television that I just worked on, the director was an acting teacher that I had many, many moons ago. And his one lesson that I've held on to all of these years was, if you want to be a good actor, learn how to stand naked and turn slowly. And I got to practice that, and that's just a metaphor. I'm not saying I stood naked in this movie that I worked on. I'm just saying that's why people come to the movies. They need to see that you are like them, that you've had those emotions, you've had those feelings, you know. So anyway, I was able to incorporate that into working as an actor today, and I was able to be very free. And it was fun. I enjoyed it.
Wow. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing you in this. And I think it's really great that you are getting back out there acting. Maybe we'll work together sometime.
Never know.
As I direct films as well. That would be cool.
Yep. You just never know.
Well, what would you, since they're letting us know we're running down on our final minutes, what would you, I'm going to give you the last word. Anything you'd like to say to all of us that, loved going into Land of the Lost with you and with Wesley and
Well,
Spencer.
Whatever joy you all thought you were getting, you have given it back to me tenfold. I would love to say that to my fans because they have said the kindest, sweetest things to me, and they've shared wonderful stories with me. And they made, in many ways, my fans have made me the woman that I am today.
Mm.
So, yeah, that's how I would like to end this, as a one big great thank you to my fans who've been so loyal and just very kind.
Mm. Well, I'm glad all the
and
ahead
for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Hug back to you, Kathy. And
I'm taking it.
Yeah, and I believe this book's going to help a lot of people to love themselves, all the parts, the good parts and the tough parts. And I know your book gets into some tough parts, and I think
mm-hmm.
it's important for us
mm-hmm.
to accept all that part of our journey, because sometimes we have shame or feel bad about some of those tough parts, but I hope more and more people will read this book and know that, you know, there's no
right.
Shame.
Not a lot of us had the blessing to come through the other side. You know, a lot of, you know, people got on that dance floor and never were able to get off. And I'm very blessed to have stepped on the dance floor for a while, did a real good jig, mind you, and was able to exit it with some clarity and some sanity and all the rest of this stuff.
It really is God's grace we're still here. I've as well come through so many rough stuff, and I'm sadly my youngest brother just passed 2 months ago, and so it's just brought home to me, you know, by the grace of God we're still here because we've all come through some rough stuff, and you know, I'm glad you're making the most of it and sharing your lessons in this wonderful book, Run Holly Run.
Well, thank you so much for saying that, Richard. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Well, God bless you, and thank you for coming on again, Kathy. And we'll be continue to keep up with you on Facebook and in the book, and looking for this new movie. What is the name of the new movie?
Fault.
F-A-U-L-T. That's a good title. One word. Good for marketing.
Yeah.
Easy to remember. Well, God bless you, Kathy, and thank you again for coming on the show.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
And thank you to all of you for listening today, and keep up with this wonderful story. We've just scratched the surface. There's so much amazing things that Kathy went through in this book, and I don't want to take away the experience of you reading the roller coaster she's been through, but you can read it all in her book. Thank you for tuning in, and I'm glad she escaped that land of the lost. You remember that?